Welcome to episode 50 of Tax Justice Warriors. I don't have any weddings, deaths, or special guest appearances on this episode, but I do want to do a few announcements and a focus on something that I've been working with recently. So I hope that this is a good celebration of number 50, and thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I am your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
I'm going to begin with some vague announcements. I have interviewed for the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel. Things seem to be looking good for me to join with them, but I likely will not know until October or closer to the end of the year whether that happens, but I am in the process of getting my fingerprints taken and a security check with the government to be sure that I clear. And so I will do a later episode to focus on just what the Taxpayer Advocacy Panel is and what they do and what I hope to accomplish while working with them. And also the Collection Due Process Panel that took place at the May meeting in Washington, D.C. for the American Bar Association. This group is looking to bring about more change, so we have follow-up discussions that we hope to have something in San Francisco that takes place at the fall meeting of the American Bar Association tax section. But something is definitely planned with the American Bar Association in December in Washington, D.C., with the low-income taxpayer representation workshop, potentially something at the low-income taxpayer clinic conference, potentially more in 2020. But right now, there is not too much I can announce, just that things are in the works. Now, I would like to go through the collection due process panel that I was a part of at the American Bar Association section of taxation, Individual and Family Taxation Committee at the 2019 May tax meeting. This panel took place on the morning of Friday, May 10th, 2019. Now, this is what some of us as part of the panel have been calling the Collection Due Process Summit, that this is our first gathering, but we're hoping it is not the last, that we are trying to generate discussion that leads to change as part of the collection due process, the whole procedure within the IRS and how that relates to tax court and the taxpayers. But the panel itself was called CDP Beyond the Weeping and Gnashing of Teeth, What Can Be Done to Fulfill CDP's Beneficial Intent. Those of us who were the panelists were Carolyn Lee, the moderator from Morgan Lewis and Bacchius LLP in San Francisco, Keith Fogg from Harvard Law School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that he is also one of the founders of the Procedurally Taxing Tax Blog. Next, Honorable David Gustafson from the United States Tax Court in Washington, D.C., Mitch Hyman from the IRS Office of Chief Counsel in Washington, D.C., Aaron Stearns of the University of Denver Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic in Denver, Colorado, and then me from Kansas Legal Services, the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic in Kansas City, Kansas. Now, we provided a brief overview of collection due process within the PowerPoint notes, but we did not spend much time talking about collection due process within the panel itself, that we wanted to devote the panel to discussion about issues for collection due process and not really spend it as a history or a discussion of the nuances of what collection due process is. We wanted to get into the discussion of what some issues are that we see and some proposed solutions that we would have to try and make it better that we think can potentially be easily implemented. But we did put in some slides of what collection due process is. So collection due process has been in place for at least 20 years at this point. So there has been a little bit of talk of its anniversary. And the purpose of our summit was to seek solutions through dialogue, that collection due process is an essential tool for establishing sustainable collection alternatives to the full payment of liabilities with the IRS. But over time, as it has been applied, collection due process has revealed imperfections. So we wanted to say, what are the opportunities to effectively and efficiently achieve CDP's beneficial intent? Collection due process starts with statutory notices from the IRS when the taxpayer has a right to request a CDP hearing using Form 12153 within 30 days after either the issuance of the notice of filing of the federal tax lien. So you can turn to IRM 8.22.5.3.1.5 parentheses 6 or 7 for important details, or the issuance of the final notice of intent to levy. That means that collection due process is tied specifically to notices of liens or levies. Now, the collection due process is a timing-based hearing that you can have that hearing within 30 days. It allows you to petition tax court after the hearing is over and you receive the notice following the hearing. But if you miss that 30-day window, you can have an equivalent hearing, which can be filed for within 1 year and 5 business days from lien filing or 1 year from the levy notice, but there is no right to petition for tax court from the equivalent hearing. So for reference, you can turn to Internal Revenue Code sections 6320 and 6330 or Internal Revenue Manual 8.22. The collection due process hearing is with the IRS Appeals Division. It is a collection-focused administrative proceeding. The taxpayer must be current on their tax filings. The key stage is to ensure the taxpayer's record for subsequent review, that it is robust, reflecting the taxpayer efforts and the IRS response. It is not a court proceeding. There's no transcript available after the CDP hearing unless the taxpayer recorded the exchanges. A notice of determination is issued by appeals, and that provides a statutory 30-day window where the taxpayer can petition tax court. The tax court petition takes the taxpayer into the judicial phase, where the burden of proof rests with the taxpayer. The IRS will often file a motion for summary judgment before seeking other resolution. This is especially when there has been a typically weak record or administrative file where most likely the petitioner has not been responsive or has been responsive part of the time, only submitting part of what is needed. The standard of review for a tax court case based on collection due process is abuse of discretion, and remand can occur within the tax court case. That is a return to the IRS, which may lead to a return to the tax court, going back and forth between those two areas. The objective is a sustainable collection alternative established under the court's protection. Now, we discussed a couple areas within the panel itself. We looked at the administrative phase, the judicial phase, and discussed potential remedies. Within the administrative phase, we started out with collection due process best practices, such as what is the best route for a taxpayer to take. So when should an individual request a collection due process hearing with a notice of lien? Should they request it only upon receipt of the final notice of intent to levy? What about the offer to follow a collection appeals program path, which is also included in IRS notices? What are the risks present at every decision point? There are some items that we have brought up that are from Keith Fogg that he has made different suggestions. One item of note he made is that taxpayers have a 30-day deadline to respond while the IRS and the tax court do not. So there are times where either the IRS and the tax court may be taking longer to make decisions or move the case forward, while there is a faster process within the statutes that the taxpayers need to respond to. Also, taxpayers prefer having a hearing on a lien to move forward quickly, while the government would not have that preference, as compared to the IRS wanting a hearing on a levy to move forward quickly, while the taxpayer does not. In looking at the 30-day deadlines, the question is, do the taxpayers understand their deadlines for a collection due process in tax court? Is there proper notice? That one issue is that the IRS notices often provide instructions about the rights to collection due process on the second, potentially the third page of the notice to the taxpayer, that there is a low response rate by the taxpayers to collection due process hearings and rights. So Mitch Hyman did say that the IRS is looking to revise the collection due process notices, and that is in the works, something that we would like to review at a later time. Question for potential challenges, is the process easy to understand and taxpayer accessible? And are there CDP delays resulting from the procedures as applied and a stretched IRS workforce too much for the IRS and taxpayers? At this point, I brought up a comparison to publications for the earned income tax credit, that there are some that publications that are easier to understand, that they have some infographics, some where pages are printed in Spanish, and that I was suggesting that some of these changes could be made for collection due process. Another item is that the notice for collection due process is framed like a bill, and that a lot of IRS notices are sent out framed like a billing statement, that it would be good if the intent of IRS notices is to let taxpayers know about their rights, that the notice mailed out could give the taxpayer a better understanding of what they are receiving rather than just something that looks like a bill. Turning to the judicial phase, the standard of review, is the abuse of discretion standard too harsh? If yes, how can an effective, correct, or fair result be achieved within the standard's constraints? And motions for summary judgment, what alternatives to motions for summary judgment, what exists? So some suggestions we had were whether there were ways to have discussions within the collection due process court procedure that would lead to more discussion between the IRS and the taxpayer in order to help them find solutions. Within our discussions, we discovered that the IRS counsel appeals and collections, they each take turns working the case. So when you are working with IRS counsel, then it is not easy to find a collection alternative. So one suggestion we have is being able to bring more departments within the IRS together to find a resolution for the taxpayer, and that if we are perhaps getting a conference call started sooner, then that may lead to resolution of the case faster. Another item brought up related to motions for summary judgment, that is a swift decision for the IRS and may not lead to resolution for the taxpayer. Judge Gustafson did have thoughts to say that motion for summary judgment does not lead to good results for the taxpayers if that is the main resolution by the IRS. So he was suggesting that the IRS look to other resolutions for the case beyond just motion for summary judgment. And we quickly turned from the judicial phase to alternative remedies. So with remand, do taxpayers get stuck in a loop between the IRS and tax court? Is that loop one of the CDP protections against harsh effects of a burdened administrative system? So while we hope that when a taxpayer goes between the IRS and tax court that they come to a resolution, that is one of the debates. Is it a good thing or is it bad if the taxpayer gets worn down by going between the two processes? We looked at mediation. Can it have an improved or expanded role in the CDP process? And we found that statutorily it is not included in CDP process because of restrictions for mediation in collections litigation, but we are looking to see if that can be changed. Then we had a discussion of the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, that how can applying the Taxpayer Bill of Rights inform and improve the CDP process during both the administrative and judicial phases. So as it stands, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights has not gained much ground in tax court or other courts during litigation, but there is a hope that because of the equitable and the portions related to taxpayer sympathy in collection due process cases, that it could be used in tax court when applied to the taxpayers. At this point, some of us do not have the highest hope that it would gain much ground in a CDP case in tax court, but there is the hope that by referring to the Taxpayer Bill of Rights more and more in judicial filings, that it can gain more ground to be used in equitable or other fashions to give the Taxpayer Bill of Rights more power when it comes to assisting the taxpayers in judicial cases. Now, overall, we think the panel was a great one. It was good for discussion, that we tried to keep the pace moving along between the different issues and discussions. We gave each of the people an area of focus so that everyone got a chance to talk, but also each person was able to chime in if they had something to say about that portion. And the whole intent was to discuss collection due process to lead to better improvements and not just complain about certain areas of the IRS or any other places, that I think we had some good discussion, that we found areas for improvement and made suggestions, but also we would like to keep the momentum going so that we have further panels or areas of discussion, but we're hoping to build a work group of people from different IRS departments, different practitioners, and various people that we can actually lead to change that helps practitioners, tax court, the IRS, and taxpayers all involved so that it is a better process for everyone. I hope this has been a good discussion for you, that you have learned about collection due process, and certainly if you do have suggestions for us, please contact me and I will direct that to the team. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm glad I've been able to celebrate at least 50 episodes and that you have given me feedback that you are gaining something from my discussions. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.